Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And please, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you. Father, I'm asking right now by faith, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to the screen right up here. I've entitled this evening's message, Set Free from Sin. Set Free from Sin. How many are so blessed to know that God has set us free?
Amen.
Amen. And so we're going to look at these last few verses in this chapter to conclude chapter 6. And I'm praying that God would speak to us. Amen. And that we would look through the law of liberty, which is the Word of God, and that we would be edified, built up, and that we would be able to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. And here we go. Let's start with verse 18, and it reads, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Look at that. "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness." For what? Holiness. Amen? Look at verse 20 through 23. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end ever what? Lasting life." Last verse. We all know this one. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, it wasn't until recent that I really fully couldn't comprehend the wages, where it says the wages of sin. But you know what that means? Sin pays you to die.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's an employer,
right,
that you must leave that job. Can I get an amen? Because it pays you to die. These are wages. So the wages of sin, meaning the things that God calls an abominations, God calls sinful, it leads to death. It leads to death. So let's break down these verses with verse 18. "Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." So saints of God, it is impossible to be neutral here. Every person has a matter, either righteousness or sin. A Christian is still able to sin. Did you know that? We spoke about that earlier. But he or she no longer is a slave to it. Because if you are a slave to it, you're going to hate one of two things. Jesus hit it right up here. Let's look at this in Luke 16:13. "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Okay. We all think that this is money. No, this is anything that's sinful. If someone, put it this way, someone loves to go to the clubs, someone loves to go drinking and dancing, and they look forward to that more than they look forward to being the Word of God, that becomes their master. And guess what? You'll make excuses not to be in church. Some people are hungover. They can't make it in. But there are many other things that we could put in front of God. And this is where the church, us, born again, called to be saints, this is where God has equipped the church and he has empowered the church. How many believe that God has given you supernatural power?
Amen.
Amen. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
But that's not just to feel good and to walk with all kinds of joy. No, that anointing that comes is power to refrain from those things that once enslaved us. So now we have the power to say no, to overcome, to be overcomers. Amen?
Amen.
You see, friends, this person belongs to God. We belong. How many believe that you belong to God?
Amen.
Well, believers are set free from the control of their evil desires and their selfish habits, free to become enslaved to the righteous living. I didn't know how to live righteously until I got saved. Then I found out there's another way to live. And so I didn't want that old life anymore. Once I got filled with the Holy Spirit, he filled my whole entire being with light. Light from the Holy Spirit, from God. And so guess what? Now that automatically changes my desires. It changes your desires. And so Jesus always, he also said this. Look at this in John chapter 8. Look at this. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." You know what? Until you look at this a little closer, there's people always in and out of church. They're in and out. Some float around. They can't really stay put anywhere. And they're just... And then a lot of times you don't even see them in church. Well, what is God saying right here? "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house." Eventually, that person will not end up in the household of faith. In other words, God already marks that one that hasn't been rooted and grounded, that could be tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. And there's a lot of false doctrine. Be careful what you watch on YouTube. They all has an opinion, especially on the prophetic end of it. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. And so you and I, we serve the righteous God who is in the process of transforming us to become more like him. How many are in that process right now? Listen, none of us have arrived. Don't think we have arrived. None of us have. We are all in the process of becoming who he intended us to be. Amen? And you know what? Sometimes there's things that he's removing from our life and replacing it with something better. So allow him to have his way with us. Can I get an amen? Okay. So now, let's go now to chapter 6 of Romans, verse 19. This is kind of a long verse. And it reads, "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh." So Paul's already identifying that us humans, we're weak in our flesh without the power of the Holy Spirit. "For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." Wow. In other words, you have to learn how to flip-flop your heart. Meaning, if God saved us and God delivered us, who are we to go back to that old sin again? The Bible calls that like going back to a dog, like going back to its own vomit and lapping it up. That's the most grossest thing, is to see a dog kind of puke and then go back and lick it up. Well, the Word of God says that if we go back to those old sins that God has delivered us from, we should be now desiring to praise him, to love him, to worship him, to be in his word, to be in his presence, to adore him, to not ever be ashamed of him. We should have that desire to what he has called us to be. As I shared before our study tonight, we had a little mini Bible study, but we're called to be saints. We're called to be the saints of God. We're not called to be sinners. We're called to be saints. Amen? Amen. And so Paul emphasizes that he is using an illustration in case any of his readers fail to understand his meaning. Paul was clear in his teachings. And did you know that he was one of the greatest apostles to have ever lived? He wrote the majority of the New Testament. And guess where he wrote the majority of his letters to? From?
Prison.
He was chained up. Just imagine in those kind of dungeons and chains back then. It was not Donovan's prison. They didn't have all the amenities. They didn't have the big screen TV and the hot and cold running showers. They were chained to one another. Just imagine, it was roach and rat infested. They didn't have the A symbol on the window. You ever go to a restaurant and look for that A? Why? Because the health department has been there. They didn't have no health department back then. Just imagine the stench that was in there.
No toilets.
No toilets. Sir, can I go use the restroom?
No.
Right there.
If you read the book that tells about the Jews during those Asian times, they poop in a vessel that one of them has.
Right.
And they just throw it on the ground.
Right.
It was
worse than an outhouse, yes. And so it says, anyone living in Rome knew about slaves and masters back in that time frame. And there were more slaves than citizens in the entire empire. When people are slaves of impurity and lawlessness, they are held in bondage to a master who seeks their destruction. And so when they have people living like that, obviously these people want them destroyed. How many are so blessed that God saved us? Because Satan wanted us destroyed. I know he wanted me destroyed, the life that I lived. I shouldn't be here today if it wasn't the grace of God. He saved me at a great time in my life. At the age of 30, he saved me. I was still young. I still had energy. I can still do things then that I really struggle with now. Physically. But he saved me at a time where I could make the right choices in life, and that he would pave out my path. Just like he has saved you. I don't know when he has saved you, but guess what? You are not the same as you used to be. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. You see, we are becoming holy, sanctified, set apart. All holiness and sanctification, they're kind of both the same. We're holy because he has made us holy. We cannot become holy within ourselves. God has to sanctify us and then do that great and mighty work in our life. Can I get an amen? So Peter, remember scaredy cat Peter? Remember he denied Jesus 3 times? Okay, before the crucifixion? But then when he got filled with the power of God, he became an awesome orator, meaning he was bold and he would preach like no other. It was the first sermon preached on the day of Pentecost. And what did he tell the Jews back then? It was during the Pentecost feast, the feast of Pentecost. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in what? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in one of his epistles, he wrote this right up here. Look at this in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the what? Grace that is what? That is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when God revealed himself to us, he brought the grace and the mercy to your life, my life. How many are so blessed to know that he didn't destroy you, but saved you? Because he thought about you. before we were formed in our mother's womb. He already knew us. Look at that. That's how awesome he is. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. Okay. When we first get saved, there are so many things that we do that God winks at. They just don't know yet. They haven't matured enough to know what's sinful and what's holy. And so we go through those mistakes. But as we walk further with Christ and we grow in maturity, now we know these are the things that I know through the Word of God that offends Him, and these are the things that please God. So once we come to that understanding, we will learn to say no to the things that offend God. Unless you love to offend Him. I don't think that's our nature, I mean our heart, to do that. Especially after He saved us.
Yeah.
We want to please Him and love Him and worship Him. Praise God. So, Peter goes on in the next verse right here. Look at this. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for what?
I am holy.
So it's a commandment. It's an exhortation. It's an admonishment. God is saying, be holy for I am holy. And you know, we all know there is no sin in God. There is no darkness. There is nothing. God is pure, holy, and light and power. And He came to this earth to rescue us. Praise God. Now, Paul went on further and spoke this to the Corinthian church. Look at right up here. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. Uh-oh. These are people in the church. Named a brother. Look at this. But I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Wow. I'm never going to put people on blast, but in the past, I know that God says we're not to keep company and people who operate like this. I've come across people, they would come into church and you could smell the alcohol from across the room. We know, Yolanda and I, we know a brother that I'm not going to mention his name. All he wants to do is have sex with women in the church. God has revealed those things. This is why it's in the Word. If God didn't want us to be aware of those things, it would not be written. This is for our admonition. And these are things that a lot of churches, they'll just leapfrog over and they won't talk about it. But when we do expository teaching, we go line by line. Can I get an amen? We hit everything. You have to. Because as a teacher, I'm responsible to speak the truth. I'm never to hide God's word. If you hide God's word, you know what you're telling people? You're ashamed of Him. Ain't nobody ashamed here. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, let's read that. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. And this applies to sister too. This is someone that's in Christ. Someone that's called to be a church member who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. Look at verse 12 right up here. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. What? So God is saying, you know what? There are some folks in your life, I know it hurts, but you got to distance yourself from them, because they will eat away at you like cancer. Their mouth is vulgar. Their actions are vulgar. They don't listen. They don't want to grow up. They want to continue to be drunkards and drug addicts. But yet they'll evoke the name of God. I know this is a hard teaching tonight, but it's truth. It's truth. It's truth. Look at this. Paul wrote also this line of scripture right up here in 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Evil company, what? Corrupts good habits. Here you are. You're called to be a saint, and you want to learn to love God, worship Him, and adore Him. And then these people that you hang with corrupts you. Well, there's too much scripture here to defend what God is saying to us. See, we can go, well, you know, yeah, but, you know, where's the love, brother? Where's the love? Well, you know what? He gave us this word because He loves us. You got to remember, Jesus is the Word. He is, I am what? He's the Word of God who became flesh. Read John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So He's the Word. This is the Word of the Lord. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Wow. Ooh, you know what? Every now and then, you'll read a passage like this, and for some of us, it's a rebuke. It's basically a rebuke, especially if it hits your heart and you see this happening in your house or on your job or in your church or on your job. There's folks like this. And there's things that you could do about it, or it'll speak to your shame. I'll move on. I don't want to step on anyone's toes here tonight. Look at Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be what? Ooh, wow. So, there's a whole lot in that verse. So, let's move on to Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. And it reads, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to what? Righteousness. You see, saints, the freedom that people experience when they are slaves of sin is the antithesis of genuine freedom. Genuine freedom. Praise God. It is such a distortion of the meaning of liberty that it causes people to be glad that they are not concerned with doing what is right. Wow. That is ultimately the worst kind of slavery that we can find ourselves in. And the result, saints, is that people end up shamed of the things they used to do. Are we going to make mistakes in this walk? Yes. Are we going to fail God at times? Yes. Are we going to say things that sometimes we shouldn't have said? Yes. Are we going to think of things that sometimes are ungodly? And then we have to go, oh man, yes. But yet, God still, number one, loves us. He knew who He saved. And so now we have an advocate. Do you know what an advocate is? We have an attorney, in fact. Meaning, we have someone that stands before the Father. And who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so all we have to do is, when we do fall short of the glory of God, which all of us do, we can confess our sins to Him. And guess what? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many are so blessed to know that? Come on, give God a shout. Because He's worthy. He's so worthy. You see, Paul was teaching the Roman Christians that it was appropriate for them to feel ashamed of their pre-Christian actions. It's okay. For some of us, he saved us from from wickedness. There's some things that we leave out in our testimonies, don't we? Oh, come on. Oh, I don't want to say that. Well, guess what? God already forgave you for that. He forgave us of everything when we came to the cross. Can I get an amen? And Paul was encouraging them to seek the benefits of high moral living now that they were saved. Because Paul, listen, if Paul can be a person that wrote down in the book of Romans, in that first chapter that we read earlier on, that he was not ashamed, can we be like him? Can we walk the same path that he did? Sure we can. But this is what he said. Look in verse 16 of Romans 1:16. For I'm not a what? Ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also what? For the Greek, meaning us Gentiles. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So who are the just? Us. The saints. Not the sinners. Let's correct that tonight. The just are not the sinners. The just are the saints of God. And so when God the Father looks down and he looks at your life, your life, your life, your life, when he looks down, guess what he sees now? He sees the blood that covers your sins, that cleansed you of your sins, that removed your sins. And the Bible says he has tossed your sins as far as the east is from the west. And guess what he also says? I remember your sin no more. Wow. What a deal. It's not let's make a deal. That's the deal. That's the benefit of a believer, of a called out saint of God. God does not remind you of your past. But Satan will remind you all day long. So when he comes to buffet you and tries to remind you of your past, you have to remind him of his future. That he's going to be dropped into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. And I can't wait for old Slewfoot to be destroyed. But Jesus even spoke about people that are ashamed of him. Never be ashamed of God. Never be ashamed when you walk into a... I'll tell you where I find it most is when you go to family gatherings and majority of them you know are not saved and you never say anything to them about the gospel. You're not bold. You don't say, hey, listen, you know, God saved me. And guess what? He wants to save you too. We can't be afraid of their reaction. We have to bring truth. Why am I saying this? Because Jesus said it best. Look right up here in Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful what? Generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when what? When he comes into the glory of the Father with his holy angels. In other words, God is saying, I'll be ashamed of you. Wow. That's pretty deep, huh? So we are to always be bold for God. If God puts you in a situation where it's uncomfortable, that's a good thing. You know why? Because God's about ready to use you now. It's always not going to be a rose garden. But God will put you in situations where it's a divine appointment. If we're worried about their reaction, if we're worried about how they will look at us, if we're worried about them rebuking us or telling us to get lost, that's okay. But guess what? God will see that there was intention there to you to deliver what he has given you. And then after you've delivered, and they still are in the same position, Bible says, then dust off your feet and walk away. You've done what God has asked you to do. That's all he asked you to do. He's not waiting for you. He's not waiting. Listen, he's not waiting for you to look at them. They're going to run to the cross now, right now. I don't know how many people witnessed to me. I was being witnessed when I was in my teens, in high school. I remember in high school at Sweetwater, there was a group of Christians that hung around, and we used to laugh at them. We never touched them, though, and I knew why we never touched them or tried to pick a fight with them, because God was watching over them. God was protecting them. It's almost like there was a force shield we couldn't see, but we didn't go there. Now, we fought each other. We fought with other gangs. We did all kinds of ruckus things like that, but we never messed with them. There was a hedge. And God has placed a hedge over us. Can I get an amen? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that would rise up against you in judgment, God will condemn. Amen. Never be afraid of what someone would say to you. And let me just say this. The Word of God says, touch not my anointed. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Don't mess with children of God. Don't mess with the child of God. Because you can slander them. You can do all kind. You can cause evil to them. And God, in his time, will deal with them harshly. And you don't have to say anything. You don't even have to lay a finger on it. Matter of fact, we're called to pray for them. We're called to pray. Oh, God, have mercy. They hate me, but have mercy. Oh, they want me dead, but have mercy, God. Oh, come on. And then if they do the unthinkable, and they come against you, whether it's physical, financially, slandering you, causing people to turn from you, maliciously, God will deal with them harshly. I've seen it with my own eyes. And so, I'm hoping we're understanding the grace of God here, because that's God's grace. Can I get amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's move on to verse 21 of Romans chapter 6. What fruit do you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Wow. So Paul was teaching that the Roman Christians, that is, was appropriate for them to feel ashamed for their pre-Christian actions. And Paul was encouraging them to seek the benefits of high moral living now that they have received Christ. So, what were they ashamed of? What were we ashamed of? Galatians points it out. You see, we all love to read the fruit of the Spirit. But did you ever saw what was in the works of the flesh before we got saved? And some of those things we did, they were shameful. But look at this. I have it so we have a clear understanding. Paul wrote to the Galatian church. Look at this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery. You know, you could break every one of these words down and be here hours speaking on each word. But these are things that God delivered us from. And yet, those sinners in the book of Revelation, at the end of Revelation, these people are going to be outside. Did you know that there's going to be people on this earth? Still, when the New Jerusalem comes, they're going to be outside of the New Jerusalem. But look at this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery. These are married people that are having sex with other people. Fornication. These are people sleeping with people that are not married. Uncleanliness. I mean, dirty, just dirty. They're just dirty. Lewdness. Rude. I mean, lewd, like smash and grab. You ever watch those people smashing and grabbing? There's gangs of people right now throughout the cities. They're going into department stores, smashing and grabbing. There's lewdness everywhere. Idolatry. Putting things in front of God. Sorcery. Now, we think that that's Merlin with the magician hat. No. That's pharmacia in the Greek. Pharmaceutical, meaning drugs. So people that are involved in drugs. Look at this. Sorcery, hatred. People that hate people. Oh, you ever heard of, oh, you're just a hater. Contentions. People that say, what up? I remember back in the day in high school, we used to walk into a party. All we had to do was just look at someone, and it was on. Contentions. Our face will contend with someone just through our looks. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. People that will just get livid on anything. They're filled with wrath. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Meaning trying to divide you. Trying to divide you from that one. Trying to divide you from your family, your friends. Dissensions. Heresies. Meaning making up stories. Got to be careful when you go to visit churches. Thus saith the Lord God, I decree and declare and all this. And nothing matches up with the word. Be careful. They fall right into heresy. Envy. I always said the best, envy. My neighbor, if he starts building a swimming pool, I don't have one. I'm not going to go to Yolanda and say, man, we got to get one too, honey. No. I figured that one out. We'll just make some pies and bring them over. And have them invite us to go swimming. Right? Murderers. How many mass shootings did I share on Sunday? Huh? Since January. This week. How many mass? Drunkenness. Revelries. And alike. Of which I tell you beforehand. Just as also I told you the time past. That those who practice such things will not. Did you catch that? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's plain as day. Praise God. But you know what? God has washed us and saved us from that. And now what? Now we're the saints of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's move on to verse 22 of Romans chapter 6. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end is what?
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life. Here's the thing that blows me away. For me, it's been 35 years of walking with God by the grace of God. Many of us probably can go back when we got saved. I think for Yolanda, it's been what, 30 maybe? About 30 years? I don't know about the rest of you in here. But there's a day you could go back. That's when I gave my heart to God. Praise God. Praise God. But what the unique and awesome thing that happens is when you surrender and repent, you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He washes you in the blood, then He fills you with His Holy Spirit, all of a sudden this starts to operate all by itself. This right up here, look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meaning patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh, its passions and desires. Praise God, praise God. So that right there lets us know that when we become born again, hallelujah, we don't desire those things that He's delivered us from. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And if we find ourselves falling into a ditch, we won't stay there. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We'll be like a lamb going, bah, bah, bah. We want out. We want help. Get me out of here. I don't want to be here no more. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's right. Come on. We are a new creature in Christ. We don't have a desire for the things that we just read in the works of the flesh. God has delivered us from that lifestyle. Praise God. And now He has given us His mercy, His grace, and His Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. In verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, and we are because we have the Holy Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. See, that's a thing of the past now. We are to edify and build each other up. We're to strengthen our brother and our sister. Amen? It's easy to condemn them. It's easy to forsake them. It's easy to, you know, rebuke them. But can you learn to love them? That's the hardest challenge. Love them. Love them. If they're a child of God, it's tough. It's tough. Holiness is gained as a process over an entire lifetime wherein we become more Christ-like and set apart for His service. It's His service. Eternal life begins at conversion. And despite the physical death, we will inevitably face and continue until this flesh goes back to the grave, unless He comes for us. How many right now can you honestly say you've already gone to many funerals in your life? And they've gone back to the dust. Well, until Jesus comes, we have to live out this life. If He don't come back for another 100 years, we'll be going down to the dust. But I believe he's coming soon. How many believe He's coming soon? I really believe He's coming soon. He's coming soon for us. The signs are here. Everything's converging now. We couldn't say this 40 years ago, 30 years ago, but now we can. They're all here. When Israel became a nation in 1948, the time clock started right there. Everything now, from that point on. And so, praise God. Praise God. We got one last verse, and then we're going to close. And that's found in Romans chapter 6, verse what? 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many are so blessed to know that we have eternal life? You know, it's hard to fathom that. Because we get one day at a time. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. We only have one day at a time. And, you know, every evening, no matter what time it is, some of you go to bed early, late, whatever. But you have to go to sleep, right? And then, by God's grace, you wake up another day, right? We don't have a clue what eternity is like. Because in eternity, there are no clocks. There is no going to bed. We're not going to have lungs to breathe air like our human body. Well, listen, we're going to have a whole different kind of body. It's going to be like His. It's never going to decay. It's not going to be sinful. It will never die. And I truly believe gravity won't keep us down. I believe we'll be able to do exactly what he did. Remember, he floated away. Right there on the Mount of Olives, remember? He says, I'm going to go to be on the right hand with my Father. But go and wait for the promise. Remember, He said, go and wait for the promise. So they went like this. That must have been mind-blowing. And then He was gone. They couldn't see Him no more. And then there were some angels there. They said, why are you looking? He goes, that same Jesus who left that way is coming back again. And so the Bible says that we will be changed and we will be what? Like Him. And so that lets us know that Jesus, when He rose from the dead, He was the first prodigal. That was the first prodigal, meaning he was the first one to have a body like that. And he has promised each and every one of us to have a body like his. Listen, I got proof here. I got proof here. It's in the Word of God. Can I say, can I get amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to give you guys a fairy tale. I'm going to tell you the truth. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Well, you know what? This is our last verse. Next week, we're going to be going into Romans chapter 7. But I want to fast forward to here. Look at this. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read Thessalonians. And then I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians. But look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have what?
No hope.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds. See that? He's not going to touch the ground. We're going to meet him in the clouds. To be what? To be in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Now, if that was the only passage that we can look at, then there would be a lot of skepticals. But it's found in another passage of Scripture in Corinthians. Let's go here. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, look at this. Now this is where we're going to be changed. It talks about that. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, in other words, we can't do this. In this body of flesh, I can't even jump 2 inches off the ground. I can't jump like Michael Jordan, who can jump this high. No. We're bound to this earth in this earthly body by what? By gravity, right? Look at this. It says right here that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So in other words, this body of sinfulness cannot go to heaven because there's no sin in heaven. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. How are we going to be changed? We're going to be changed like him. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, meaning a body that will live forever. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so, my friends, my question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because I want you to see this. Are you ready?
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or he might come next week. Or he could even come.
those of you right now that are on Facebook and YouTube, maybe this is your first time God has led you to this message tonight. Maybe you've been there before and you never given your heart. Well, this is your opportunity to give your heart to God. But I want to show you a scripture right up here. And this is a key scripture right here. Peter wrote this very first sermon right up here. Look at this. And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. That's the key right there. That's the key, my friends. The key is to repent. Ask God to come into your life. Ask God to save you. And guess what? If He saved a wretch like us, He will save you no differently. Because there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We're all equal at the cross. And God has been pursuing you. God has been chasing you. He's chasing you down tonight. Why? Because He loves you. He don't want you to perish. He don't want you to stay behind like those other ones in that example of a video. He wants you to cry out to Him. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would surrender your life and give your heart to Christ by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is He worthy? Oh, come on. He's worthy. He's worthy, worthy, worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give You the